Hey, Michael.
Hi, let's dive straight in, shall we?
Let's do it.
Dark Waters, perhaps, a film that comes out today, stars Mark Ruffalo, Anne Hathaway, Tim Robbins, Bill Pullman and Bill Camp. It's directed by Todd Haynes, who's made such films as Far From Heaven, Carol, Velvet Goldmine, Dottie Gets Spanked. Never caught that one, but the title just appealed to me. Anyway, Dark Waters is nothing like Dottie Gets Spanked. Dark Waters is based on the New York Times article, The Lawyer Who Became DuPont's Worst Nightmare. The lawyer in this case is Ohio corporate lawyer Rob Billett. He works for a firm whose job it is to actually defend chemical companies. But his grandma in West Virginia just knows he's a big-time lawyer. So she sends her friend, farmer Wilbur Tennant, who's played by Bill Camp, to ask him to help get satisfaction from DuPont when all his cows start to die. Now, Rob eventually takes the case and eventually makes legal history. Ultimately, thousands of complainants ended up successfully suing one of America's corporate giants, that being DuPont, for over $500 million.
Jeez.
Notice I say eventually a lot in this. That's because the case against DuPont dragged on for roughly 15 years. So if you're looking for a snappy legal drama where Mark Ruffalo delivers gotcha moments and counter arguments, then I suggest you maybe that you should be watching a John Grisham novel or a movie version of a John Grisham novel. This film is more about the grind of the legal process, and the film does turn into a bit of a grind at times, and the toll it takes on everyone involved. It was also probably supposed to be a vehicle for Mark Ruffalo to get nominated for an Academy Award, but while Mark Ruffalo is excellent in this film, the story just moves along really slowly. It just plods at times. I guess it is based on a real legal case, but at least, you know, Erin Brockovich had a bit of sass about her, and her film moved along at a fair clip. The subject matter is definitely worthy of the cinematic treatment. It paints a very disturbing picture of the irresponsibility and arrogance of corporate America, but the slapdown takes far too long coming and the audience will be almost too exhausted to care by then. A bit like Ruffalo's Rob Billett. Not so much to care, but to get too excited. The colour palette of the film is also very grey, making the film even a bit more depressing to watch. Not even John Denver on the soundtrack can lighten the mood. These dark waters certainly expose corporate America's dirty laundry, but they run very deep and very slow. Let's go downhill with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell. Also Miranda Otto, Zoe Chow and Zach Woods. This film is directed by two people, Nat Faxon, who is better known as a comedic actor, and Jim Rash. Now, it's about Pete, who's played by Will Ferrell, and Billy, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus. They've taken their two kids for a ski holiday in Austria, and at first it seems like an ideal family vacation. But there's something wrong. Pete always seems distracted by his phone. He could have taken the whole family to a more family-friendly resort, but for some reason he chose not to. However, the real tipping point comes when Pete does a runner in the face of what appears to be a life-threatening avalanche, leaving Billy and the boys to their fates. Now, if this plot sounds a bit familiar, it is. It's based on a French-Swedish film from about 2014 from writer-director Ruben Östlund called Force Majeure. Now, whilst that film was a subtle psychological drama about a relationship at a crossroads, Downhill is anything but subtle. That's not so totally surprising given the casting of Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, both better known for their comedic roles.
Yeah.
This film was definitely made with an American audience in mind, you know, especially given the casting. And at times it is actually quite darkly funny to watch, and Ferrell and Dreyfus are terrific comedic actors, and Miranda Otto's turn as the plain-speaking Austrian hotel concierge is also a highlight. But this film is just like Force Majeure, about a relationship at a crossroads, and at times it is painful and awkward to watch. Downhill isn't nearly as bad as many of the IMDb reviews suggest, or Rotten Tomatoes, though I suspect these reviewers were expecting a screwball comedy, probably expecting Will Ferrell to do a lot of falling down and things like that, and instead of that they got Marriage Story in the Austrian Alps. Is this a family comedy or is it a family drama? You get the feeling the filmmakers are having a bit of a bet each way. Downhill has its moments, but ultimately it ends up in a snowdrift.
And what are you going to finish us off with this
morning? Final film this morning, a documentary called Citizen K opens today. This documentary is directed by a guy called Alex Gibney. He did films like Going Clear and Enron, the smartest guys in the room. Now, just who is Citizen K? Well, Citizen K is a guy called Mikhail Khodorkovsky. He's a Russian businessman who emerged shortly after Boris Yeltsin swept to power in the 1990s, promising democracy and wealth for Russians. Of course, not all Russians ended up with that wealth, and it was people like Khodorkovsky who did. By 2003, Khodorkovsky was an oligarch, possibly one of the richest men in Russia, and one of seven oligarchs who had pretty much divided up most of Russia's wealth, resources, technology, and media. However, things started to slowly change when Vladimir Putin ascended to the presidency in 1999. He decided that he wanted his cut and he wanted to supposedly nationalize some of these industries that the oligarchs had taken over. But you get the feeling he just wanted his cut. And Khodorkovsky ended up getting outmaneuvered and ended up in a Siberian gulag for 10 years, convicted of tax fraud. Now, in this documentary, we meet Khodorkovsky living in exile in London. These days, he financially supports opposition to Vladimir Putin, of course.
Mm.
The documentary, it does an excellent job of explaining how Putin managed to attain and retain so much power, but what it doesn't quite do is get behind the facade of Khodorkovsky. The man claims to have had an epiphany in prison and that Russia should become more democratic, but you get the feeling that maybe if he hadn't been sent into exile, he would have been pretty happy with the way things are. He's currently spending some of the $400 million that he still managed to sock away before going to prison and into exile towards the goal of challenging Vladimir Putin. So you think maybe perhaps he's just bitter. The viewer is left wondering whether the leopard really has changed its spots. He got away with some really shady stuff back in the 90s, Khodorkovsky did. You wonder, is he just bitter because Putin managed to outmaneuver him, or does he really believe in a democratic Russia? Or would he like to take the presidency and the wealth and the power in for himself? Khodorkovsky is a very enigmatic character, and you get the feeling that there are quite a few more chapters of his story left to play out, unless Putin has him killed, of course. It's compelling and entertaining and leaves the viewer with more questions than answers. Citizen K probably gets a solid B.
Hey, Michael, thanks so much for coming in. We'll catch you next week.
Pleasure.